Today I want to continue the teaching, key teachings of Jesus. And I want to deal today with the topic, invisible powers of hell. Let's just make our confession before we start. You ready? Let's say it together. Ready? This is God's word to me. It is my daily bread for spiritual strength. It is my guarantee to always be a winner. It is my strength to overcome all obstacles and challenges. It is the last word on my health, my prosperity, my financial success, my destiny. I now hide it in my heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, and we're going to read it together. Okay, ready? Let's go. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, what else? Powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, so here we realize, believers, that God is, in this passage, is warning us and alerting us to the fact that we are in a spiritual battle whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you're prepared for it. It doesn't matter if you know it's there. It's a battle that has already started, and a battle that has demonic forces, a powerful army of demons, which really are just fallen angels, headed by Satan himself. These demons or evil spirits are organized. They have clearly defined levels of authority. If you notice, it talks about principalities. These are special demons that are over territories. They hold states and cities in control. That's why, for those of you who ever been on the mission field, you will go to certain countries, and the moment you get out of the airplane, you begin to sense a territorial spirit. It's like it is so heavy and it is so strong because it is a principality. It is a principality that has been assigned to that particular location, and the people there are suffering in just immeasurable ways, because those are demon spirits that have them under control. See, what you need to understand is that that's what happens even in our own lives. It's just that they are not principalities, but then they're called powers. Powers are personal demons that hold you in bondage or hold you hostage. No matter what you do, you stay broke. I mean, no matter how much you work, it doesn't matter how much effort you put in, you just can't seem to get over. You can't seem to live in the abundance that God has promised. It's a personal demon that has you hostage. There are people who have been sick all their lives, and some who have gotten sick recently, and no matter how much you pray, and it doesn't matter how much you do, you can't get rid of that sickness. That backache won't go. That migraine headache holds you hostage. You get up every morning and you have to pop pills. And what you don't understand, that this is not a coincidence. This is a power. This is a special demon assigned to your life that's holding you hostage. And then you have the rulers of the darkness. These are special demons that are in the political framework. They're in certain key spots, you know, to influence legislation. And so while you and I are here thinking that, you know, that things are just happening and legislation is just coming just as a result of people voting, these rulers of the darkness, these are special demons who are in the political system to try to bring about certain laws that are contrary to the word of God. All this whole thing about gay marriage, you think that that's coincidence? You see, these are special demons who are assigned to bring about legislation that is contrary to the word of God. And again, these are not simple forces. They are real forces. That's what the Bible says, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then you have a spiritual host of wickedness. These are demons who bring people into mysticism. Now, for those of you who don't understand what that is, mysticism is the belief that you can still reach God, you can still serve God, you can still, you know, have a relationship with God without doing what God says. That you can literally, you know, sort of choose what you want to do from the scriptures, and somehow you will still have a relationship with God. Now, what Jesus said about this, he says, these people honor me. He spoke about mysticism. These are people who talk about God. You know, they know how to talk about God. They know how to hum God's tunes. But you know what? Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, because one of the things that happens when you really get saved, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Notice, he's not the old creature that's trying to be new. He is a new creature, because old things are passed away, and behold what? All things becomes new. But when you're caught into mysticism, it's not just you. It's a demon spirit. And as long as you stay under the bondage of that spirit, you will never change. You will be 15, and then you're going to be 25, then you'll be 35, 45, still in mysticism, doing your own thing and thinking that everything is all right. That's what Jesus says in that day, that when Jesus comes back and he begins to judge the people, and you stand before him, he said, listen, didn't I usher? Didn't I do this? And you know what Jesus is going to say? Depart from me. He didn't say, I knew you once and then I stopped knowing you. He says, I never knew you. See, that's the difference between godly sorrow and human sorrow. Human sorrow feels bad about the sin that it commits, and it feels bad about, you know, what happened because it got caught, or because things got rough because of the bad situation. And so, but you know what? It continues to go back and do the same thing. But godly sorrow, the Bible says, works repentance. You know what repentance is? Is when you're going in this direction and you turn around and you start going in this direction. That's what happens. And so godly sorrow works repentance. It means that you were doing this, but now I'm not doing this anymore because now I'm serving the Lord. Something new has happened on the inside. There is a change in me, and I can't explain it, and I can't, you know, try to figure it out, but I know that something has happened on the inside. I want you to know that when Christ comes into your life, something takes place on the inside that you'll never be the same again. Oh, no. And the moment we come to Jesus and turn our lives over to him, demon spirits and evil spirits become our enemies. Because of the fact that we're not serving them anymore. And their objective is to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. The objective of any demon spirit that's attached to you is to turn you away from Jesus and back to sin. But I want you to know that since the Lord has set me free, I'm not going back to that bondage any longer. Now, I want to show you in the scriptures, in the book of Daniel chapter 10, there was an instance here where Daniel was praying, and he began to pray to God for the children of Israel to be released from the captivity that the Persian Empire had them under. He had prayed and says, God, release my people so that they can go back to their homeland. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 12, it says, for 21 days Daniel fasted and prayed and set his face to see God. At the end of that time, an angel appeared to him, saying, your prayers have been heard. I'm here to tell you and to give you understanding. I would have been here sooner, but I got hung up between here and heaven. The demonic entity overseeing the region of Persia intercepted me, and a battle followed. And so what happened is that Daniel had fasted and prayed. And when he fasted and prayed, God sent the answer immediately with an angel. But even though God sent the answer, there was a principality, a demonic spirit over the spirit of Persia that intercepted and stopped the prayer from being answered. So sometimes in our lives, God has already released your prosperity. God has already released your healing. But there is a demonic spirit that stands in the way, intercepting what God is trying to do. And so what happened is that the angel that was sent with the message told him, listen, I've been trying to get this thing to you, but I had a battle and a fight. I want you to know we do not wrestle. You notice again, I'm trying to tell you that at some point in your life, you're going to have to wrestle with principalities and powers. You're going to have to get into a fight. You know, and as I go on in this teaching here in Ephesians 6, I want you to know, however, you don't have anything to fear. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. The Bible lets you know that he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. But here in this passage of scripture, the Bible says that this angel who the Lord sent got into a tussle with this principality. I want you to know that Satan, while you don't have to be afraid of him, he's not afraid of you either. That's the reason why after Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, you figure that this guy would have said, hey, let me stay away from the Son of God. I mean, he's strong enough without the fasting. But you know what? He came right into his camp after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Satan is not afraid of you. And the only time he becomes afraid of you is when you start to put on the armor of God. And you begin to do something that is essential. It's interesting, and I don't want to kind of push ahead of myself here, but I want to say this to you. The Bible says that while this angel was fighting and stopping this angel from bringing the prayer, all of a sudden, God sent Michael, the archangel, to come and destroy this enemy. You see, that other angel had power, and he wasn't losing the battle, but he wasn't getting anywhere. But the Bible says that God dispatched the archangel Michael, and Michael came and tore up that principality, and suddenly he could come and deliver the answer to prayer. And so what I want you to know, that sometimes when you're fighting that battle, you think you're fighting the battle on your own, but the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. God is going to join you in your intercession, and he's going to make sure that the enemy does not win. The Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a Michael, an archangel, to come and stop the enemy from doing what he's doing. Now, one of the interesting things about Ephesians chapter 6 is that it deals with the spiritual battle that we're facing, the spiritual battle that every single one of our young people are going to face. Every believer that's sitting in this room, whether you're saved 2 weeks or saved 22 years, you are going to be faced with a spiritual battle. I mean, the battle is already there. It's just that you don't know. See, the thing about it is that the less spiritual you are, the less you're aware that you're in a battle. And so because of that, you know, there's certain things that you don't do. The one thing that babes in Christ don't do is they don't pray. They pray like the way the world prays. You know how the world prays? Whenever there's a calamity, my prayers are with you. They haven't bowed their knees to God yet. They haven't said, our Father which art in heaven yet. It's the form of religion. It's a form of godliness. And because, when I read this here and I'm reading about, you know, we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. I mean, these are all powerful things. But it's interesting how this ends. After Paul tells us to put on the armor, then he ends this whole dialogue by saying in Ephesians 6 verse 18, he says, after you've done all this, make sure that you pray always with all prayer and supplication. In the spirit. Let me explain that to you. You see, the Bible talks about prayer, but and different forms of prayer, but it also talks a special form of prayer called supplication. This is a whole nother level to prayer. And according to God, if you're going to win your battle over demonic spirits that are holding you hostage, that are keeping you sick, keeping you poor, keeping you under high stress, you're going to not only have to pray, you're going to have to enter into intercession. You're going to have to understand that you're going to have to battle. You see, Jesus, before he went to the cross, the Bible says that Jesus, with prayer and supplication, prayed to the Father. See, that's to show you, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to pray with prayer and supplications, what do you think you have to do to win your battle? You cannot win your battle by being religious or by having a form of godliness. You have to engage in prayer. And let me say something to you about prayer. You know, people who don't understand. See, the Bible says that there's personal prayer and there's corporate prayer. There's certain things that personal prayer is not going to do. You can be an isolated hero all you want to, but there's certain battles that you're not going to win. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray together, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I want you to know that there's certain healing that's not coming to you until you understand that you must come together with God's people. So that's why where two or three are gathered together in my name. You know, listen, the conference calls are nice, but it doesn't take the place of gathering together. And when God wrote this, he understood that there was going to be this, and there was going to be advances in science and all that. And he says, where two or three, what? You got to gather together. You see, and so the interesting thing here is that some of these demon forces that we're fighting against, that are working against us, that are standing right there in certain families, there's just certain principalities, at certain spirits, certain powers that keep them from working together, loving each other. There's always friction in that family. There's always fighting in that family. No matter what they do, they come together for reunion and it ends up in a fight. Because they think it's just, you know, it's just the way we are. No, it's not the way you are. There is a demonic spirit, a spirit of power that has been attached to your family. And until someone gets on their knees and not only prays, but get into intercession, it's not going to happen. There's certain families that, you know, they have some great ideas about business. They have some great ideas about, you know, how they can get up and how they can do certain things. And it doesn't matter what connections they have. It doesn't matter how innovative they are. They always stay below mediocrity. Nothing ever works out. They get near the deal and it collapses, because what they don't know is that and they're mad at the producer and they're mad at the connection, and they don't realize that it's not the connection that's the problem. It's not even the idea that you have is the problem. It's that spirit behind the scenes that is working overtime to make sure that you never get out of the hold. That you always stay in the valley. Hey, but listen, I got good news for you. Come on, somebody. I got good news for you. I want you to know that when you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, that by Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. That means that he's going to bring down that power. He's going to bring that demonic spirit that has you in bondage. And when God does that, you can move on. And you know what? You can climb all the way to the top. Because whom God blesses, no man can curse. And any door that God opens, nobody can close it. The battle that we face and the stress that we're going through, the nightmare that's coming against you, fighting against you, it's not primarily physical. Even though, you know, you look at this and the trouble and the suffering that you're experiencing is coming through your boss. It's coming through your coworkers. It's coming through your children. It's coming through your husband. Don't look now. It's coming through your parents. We are fighting against mere flesh and blood, because we're focusing our attention on the faces that's creating the problem. But we're not to battle the spiritual entities, you know, but we're not to fight against individuals, against our children or our bosses or the coworkers or the husband or the wife. We are to battle against the entities behind those people that's causing them to do that. Because you can fight them today, and next day they'll start all over again. Because what you fail to understand is that when you fight them physically, you might win the physical battle today, but because it's not a physical battle, it's a demonic spirit behind them, they're going to come and rise up to fight you another day. Those children are going to act up the next week. It doesn't matter what rules you set, because what it is what we're doing is we're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting against flesh and blood as opposed to fighting the spiritual entities, the demons, that are the invisible powers behind the problem that you're facing. All hell that you're experiencing is from hell. It's not coming from people. It's coming from the forces of darkness that have strategized, that know exactly where you live. It knows exactly how to turn you to turn your button. It knows exactly how to get you, you know, going. And so as a result, you're unless you begin to fight the battle against the enemy, you're going to constantly be under the suppression of the enemy. He will keep you oppressed all the time. You'll always be sad. You'll always be depressed. You'll always be discouraged because of the fact that the enemy, once he is in control, then he comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. He does not want you to have your peace. He doesn't want you to have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And so we need to know that we cannot just keep battling these spirits. Some people think that the reason why they're in poverty or that they're is because their employer doesn't pay them enough. I know some people thinking about that. You know, and some people think that the reason why, you know, they could never make it, they're full of debt, you know, is because they had a bad break. They think that it's because nobody left them nothing. You know, everybody else is talking about what their grandfather left for them. And when you look, nobody left you anything. And so you're blaming the situation on that. And there are people who are unemployed who think that the reason why they're unemployed is because of the economy. You know, it's because the government is not doing enough. And there's some people who see their sickness as genetic, generational. They see it as something that's in their bloodline, and because they don't see where the battle really is, they're still poor, they're still sick, they're still in pain, they're still suffering, because they don't know that the real issue is not the things that you're experiencing, is the demon spirit that's been assigned to you to keep you sick, to keep you poor, to keep you in bondage, to keep you struggling. And so what we need to do is understand that the battle that we face is not a physical battle. So your business not taking off and your career not moving forward and the book that you wrote not becoming a number one bestseller. And for those of you who are in music, your song not going platinum is not coincidence. It's not something that is because of a bad break. It's because there's a demon spirit that's been assigned to you. And until that spirit is broken, you're never going to have a number one song. You're never going to have a number one New York Times bestseller. You're never going to be out of debt. You're going to be in debt for the rest of your life. But I want you to know that whom the Son sets free, all you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord and let the Spirit of God come to your situation and change what the devil has been doing. He did it for Daniel. Do you know that after that prayer was answered, that after that the angel came and delivered the answer to the prayer, that Israel went back to their homeland? I want you to know that if you're in any kind of bondage, what you need is for the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord, to bring the answer to your prayers. And once he does, everything is going to be all right. Turn to someone and say, everything is going to be all right. See, what we need, listen to me, what we need is to seek the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me, listen to me, and find me. When you search for me, what? With all your heart. Here is the problem. If you're going to half-heartedly seek God, he doesn't even appear. Because if he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord at all. That's what the Bible says, that there are people who are going to, you know, who are going to be in the church and are going to be, you know, half in, half out and all that kind of stuff. But you know what Jesus says? Don't condemn them. He says, let the wheat and the tears grow up together. It's okay. It's not your job to be trying to point a finger at my sister or point a finger at my brother and try to figure out who's who. Your job is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have enough to think of before you can start trying to figure out somebody else. I don't know how you can look at somebody else when you got so much mess that God has to work out in you. And so what we need is not more training. What we need is not more career guidance. What we need is not more business conferences or even motivational speakers. Some people here have heard 200 motivational speakers, and you're still in the same spot. Don't you get it? The information you got might have been excellent, but it's a demonic spirit that's holding you back from getting to where they say you can get to. If you don't know who you're fighting, then you can't fight because you'll be fighting the wrong battle. You see, it's one of the interesting things about Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be talking about it next week, it says you just can't put on some of the armor of God. Oh, you're missing me. See, some people want to put on some of the armor of God. You know what it is? It's the spirit of mysticism. It's the host of wicked demons who have, what they do is they control your mind so that you think through meditation. If I meditate, I'm still going to get to God. I don't have to see God the way the Bible says. I'm going to meditate and I'm going to get to God. It's mysticism. It's that feeling that this is what happened to Eve. The spirit of mysticism started right in the garden because what the devil said to Eve, listen, I know what he says, but don't worry about all that. You can still get everything you need from God. All you have to do is listen to what I say. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you the truth. The reason why he told you that, because he doesn't want you to be as great as he is. And as a result, she bought into the mysticism. And the moment she did, she became an immediate loser. There's some people who are immediate losers. Say, turn to someone and say, not me, not me. They're immediate losers. You see, because they buy into that mysticism. But the point I want to make here is that it's not another, listen, what you need is not another doctor's opinion. You don't need another prescription. You don't need another x-ray. You see, what you need is the power of God to come and destroy the yoke of the enemy. In the last week, we talked about the chosen fast. Is it not this that I've chosen, says God? A fast that's going to lift the oppressed. It's going to undo the heavy burden. By the way, these are all demon spirits that have you under oppression. These are evil spirits that have you under a heavy burden. And these are evil spirits that have yoked you to poverty, yoked you to loneliness, yoked you to depression, yoked you to moodiness. Some people are so moody. I mean, you don't know when to say hello and when not to say hello. But you see, and sometimes you get mad at the person. But part of it is that there's a demon spirit that has them that way. And they can't seem to get out of it. And sometimes you see them making the effort, but before you can look around twice, they're back into it. I'm trying to tell you, you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual warfare. And whether you know it or not, or whether you know how to fight it or not, it doesn't matter. Satan is coming after you. It says, I think in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be vigilant, be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that while you think, you like the devil's things and you're cool with the devil and all that kind of stuff, you can be cool with him, but he ain't cool with you. Because he is coming to hurt you. He's coming to break up your marriage. He's coming to break up your home. He's coming to put a fight between you and your brother and sisters. He's coming to bring problems on the job. And sometimes problems resurrect on our jobs. And you say, where did this thing come from? I didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything. It's the devil who is the instigator who is coming after you. And he's going to use everything he possibly can to bring you down. But hallelujah, I want you to know, come on now, if you're a child of the living God, if you serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you know in whom you have believed in and you're persuaded that he's able, he's going to come and break the chains of darkness. Hallelujah, come on somebody. In the book of Luke, and I'm going to close with this. There is a story in Luke chapter 13, beginning of verse 10. For those of you who have heard T.D. Jakes, this is the where he got that story. Woman? Yeah, this is it right here. I'm not going to preach that, though. Now, here in this story, it says that he was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. For 18 long years, she was unable to lift herself up. She was double over by her sickness. You see, demons can be in your life for as many years as you allow them to be. For as many generations as you allow them to be. That's why there's some demons that they have a stronghold, because they've been there like for the third generation. They've been there for the fourth generation. They've been there five, six, seven, eight generations. And listen, a stronghold is a stronghold. Just in case you don't understand, the Bible lets us know that the enemy is an enemy. When you go into war, the people who are in warfare are enemies. There are no friends in war. And so if you think of the devil as he ain't such a bad guy, and I'm saying this, you think I'm saying it, you know, to be funny. No, but there are people who have this thing about the devil. They think, you know, I can dib and dab and I can do all. I want you to know that's what the Bible says, whom the Son sets free. See, that's why you cannot be set free by religion. Just because you come to church here doesn't mean you're going to be set free. Just because you know, just because your mother was a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be set free. Just because you know someone who speaks in tongues doesn't mean you're going to be set free. You see, in order to be set free, you have to engage in a battle, because the devil is not letting go whom he has hostage because of the fact that you're a nice guy. He don't care whether you're ugly or pretty. His job is to kill, his job is to steal, and his job is to destroy. And so I want you to know that for 18 long years, and that's why some of you have been trying to get your business off the ground. You know, you've been trying to get that promotion. You've been trying to have wealth come in. You know, the Bible says that wealth and riches shall be in the house of the righteous. We know that. Well, why isn't it there? It's not there, not because God hasn't released it and Jesus didn't die and paid the price for it. It's because there are demon spirits who don't want you to succeed, who want you to stay under. You see, when you're broke and you're poor, you're going to be stressed out. You're going to, because every time you don't even want to open the mail because you're afraid that it's one of those things again. You're stressed out. You're afraid to even open your own mail. You see, and so you begin to live in fear, and then you begin to wonder, what's going to happen 2 months from now? You know, what's going to happen a week from now? You see, but that's not what the spirit, God has not given us that spirit. But that spirit comes from the enemy. It comes from Satan to keep you bowed, you're bowed down. He keeps you so that you can't, you're bent over. You can't straighten up. You know, if you're always walking like this, you're going to have problems, because you're not going to be able to see where you're going. When you're bent down like this, you don't know what direction to take. People can push you and you don't even know that they did it, because you can't see where you're going. And this is what's happening to many believers in the church. Even though they're children of God, they're in a battle, but they don't engage in fighting the battle. You know, they're just going on thinking it's just, you know, it's happenstance. It's not happenstance. I want you to know the devil has planned and purpose to keep you where you are. He has planned and purpose to hurt you and your children and your family. He's going to keep disease in your body. And you know what? And the moment you think that one is over, he has another one coming, because he works overtime. But here, listen to me. What we need to understand as a church, that listen, you that the only way you're going to be set free, the only way that you're going to be delivered is to begin to look onto the hills from whence cometh your help. But not just looking at God like this. You have to get before God on your knees and begin to seek after the Lord. And let me just say something to you. Next week when we talk about where it says, above all, and you know, and we kind of think it just means, well, you know, the most important thing, it doesn't mean that. What above all means is that it, back in the day, whenever Roman soldiers would fight, they would have shields. And so the front line, they used their shields and they would lock in together and put their shields next to each other. So that when the enemy would throw fiery darts directly at them, because they were bonded together and the shields were locked into each other, the fiery dart could not hit not even one of them. But then the enemy was smart. They would start throwing these fiery darts over in the air. And so what the soldiers who are in the second row and third row and 50 rows behind and 100 rows behind would do is they would put their shields together above, like this, above all. And so when the enemy threw these fiery darts, they could not get to them because they were shielded by the brethren that were joined together, and nothing could come in the front and nothing could come above them because they were holding together. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The Bible says, that's what the Bible says about the church of the living God, is that, see, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's not only for coming to church, but it's also for prayer. You're not going to win your battles until you find believers who are ready to shield themselves along with you, join together in the spirit of unity. And that's how you're going to defeat the devil. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. See, at some point, you know, every wall will come down. I want you to know at some point every chain will come loose. I want you that every mountain is going to be moved. Every sickness will be healed. Every crooked path will be made straight. Every heavy burden will be lifted. Every yoke will be broken. And I want you to know that whatsoever you do shall prosper. But you have to trust in the living God. You got to fight against the enemy. And the only way to fight against the enemy is you have to come. The Bible says, if you seek me, you're going to find me. You know, I tell you, and I am just so proud of our young people, young adults and adults and seniors in our church. You know, that's the reason why the Bible says about senior people, people who just, you know, who because of their age, they just can't come out to certain meetings. The Bible puts a responsibility on the church to go to them. Because whether you can come or not doesn't matter. The devil is still going to fight you. And so you need believers to join together with you. And so it says pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless, listen to me, and the widows in their afflictions. So you know that the devil is still going to afflict you whether you can come or not. And that's why the church has a responsibility to go out to those who can't come and begin to put that shield together so they too are going to have the protection. You know, and we do it, but we need to do a better job of that. You know, of finding the people who just, you know, because of, you listen, you know, at some point in time, you might be young right now. One thing I realize about youth is that, you know, you need to take pictures. Lots of pictures. Because what it looks like now, it ain't going to look like then. What's tight is going to flap and fly. Young people are laughing, right? But we know the deal. And so, we need to understand, that's what the Bible says, the battle is not yours. You understand why it says that? It's saying because you might think that somehow you have the power or the ability to beat the enemy. There's nothing in Scripture that says that you alone can beat the enemy. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you. See, the Bible says things like this. Be strong in the Lord. Greater is he that is in you Not you, he that is in you. You follow me? And so when we get the understanding that we cannot try to fight this battle on our own, then you're going to run to the house of the Lord. You know, the early church, you know what it says about the early church? In fact, I'm going to close with this. Turn to Acts chapter 2. It's not in my message, but turn to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to go to verse 42. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. And I'm going to close with that. And let me just say this to you. I want you to know that it's time for you to get mad enough for the devil to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it your mystical way anymore. I'm not going to work and I'm not going to serve God the way you are telling me my mind to serve him. See, that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2. You know what the Bible says? See, until your mind is transformed, you cannot serve the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are together. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. That means that you have to be alive. If you're dead, you can't present yourself to God. Holy and acceptable unto God. That means that you're not the one who gives the approval. He's the one that says, yes, now that you've done this, now it's right. And then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word has to transform your thinking. You know, the reason why you're where you're at is because of your thinking. You might blame, oh, you say, well, you know, my kids, you know, they just give me such a hard time. That's why I'm not better off. No, no, it's not. It's your mindset. You see, as a man thinks, so is he. And so if you want to change your circumstances, you have to change your thinking. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In fact, let's read it together. See, this is the first thing that happened. This is the first thing that happened when the early church was set together. You know, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he says, I will build my church. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Jesus said what? I will build my church. Marianne, listen to this. He didn't say governors are going to build his church. He didn't say millionaires are going to build his church. He didn't even say pastors are going to build his church. He knew that this responsibility was too big to put it in the arms of any kind of flesh. And so what he says, I am going to build, and notice what he calls it. He didn't call it your church. He said, my church. That goes to tell you that he is serious about this thing called the church. And the church is not just a building. It's not just a place, 9803, that you come to. It's not just being here and working in different things. The church is a body of called out believers who God has taken them from darkness into light. The Son has set them free. And Jesus says, this is the church I'm building. So the church is not a building. You're the church. But listen to me, but he can't build you if you keep staying, you know, 40 miles away, if you're not pliable in his hands. And so there are many people who are in the church, but they're not in the church because they're outside of what he's doing. And what you need to understand is you need to get back to what God is doing, where he's doing it. Because when he builds something, see, that's why he says for those people that he's building, the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Are you hearing me? That means that no matter what Satan tries to do against you, if you're part of the church that he's building, he will fail every single time. He's going to throw the fiery darts, but they're not going to work. He's going to raise up a standard, and the enemy will not be able to penetrate it. And on top of that, listen to this, to the language here. The gates of hell shall not be able to prevail. That means that when Satan puts his gates around your wealth, and he puts his gates around your healing, and he puts his gates around your future when you get smart enough to join in with the believers and come and fight him, he won't be able to stop you. You'll be able to open the gates and go and take that which belongs to you. It's what God has promised you. It's what God has declared for you. He says, by his stripes you're healed. Go in there and get your healing. God says that your children shall serve the Lord. Even though the enemy seems to have him in a whirlwind, it's only a matter of time. Go back in there and get the blessing of your children. Get the salvation of your kids. You have to know. And while you're in there, get back your wealth. Get back your prosperity. Because the gates of hell cannot stop you. Oh, come on, somebody. You see, but here is the key. Jesus is building his church. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. The writer says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. This is the church probably wasn't more than a couple of days old, maybe a couple of weeks old. And look at how the Holy Spirit organized the church. And what he organized for them, he's all organized for me and organized for all the Christians who've gone before me and the ones who are going to come after me. He says, let's read it together. It says, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. By the way, whose doctrine are you following? He says that when Jesus ascended up on high in Ephesians chapter 4, he said he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. And you know what those gifts were? Apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You know, notice he placed these gifts in the church, and you know what he placed them there? For the perfecting of the saints. How are you ever going to become perfected in doing what God wants you to do? You have to be in the Bible studies. You have to be in the prayer meetings. You have to be in the teachings. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But let me not stray any further. Look what it says. Is it for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry? So it says, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the formula. This is the formula for you if you're a believer. Marianne is here. She came back to the Lord a couple of months ago, and she's getting ready to go back to live in Durham, North Carolina. You know, and in talking to her, one of the first things I said, listen, the first thing you got to do is start looking into a church, a word church, a church where they preach the word. Because just because you move somewhere doesn't mean that now you can just kind of, you know, lay off. No, the church of the living God is everywhere. That's why when, if you look at the New Testament, it's Paul wrote letters to the church that was in Rome. He wrote letters to the church that was in Ephesus. He wrote letters to the church that was in Corinth. There were local churches in Galatia, in Thessalonica. There were churches everywhere. I want you to know God has his church everywhere because his church is not a local thing. It's an international thing. Yes, there are local churches, and you have to be in submission to somebody. Who do you answer to? When you don't come to church, there has to be somebody in the line of authority that you, otherwise you're never going to grow. The Bible says that we must be in submission, you know, and we must be in obedience and submission. Obedience just means to do whatever it is that you're told to do by the word of God through the pastor. Submission means to yield whatever contrary opinion you have in favor of what God is saying through that leader. And so I want you to know that if we continue to do this and continue to pray and seek the face of God, what happened to that early church in just a matter of months? The Bible says in no time the church became a mega church. You know why? Because everyone was continuing together in prayer, in breaking of bread, in the word, seeking the Lord, in fellowship. By the way, you know what? You better get some Christian friends that are in church. And I'm not just talking about any church. That's the problem that people don't understand. You just can't have friends from church A or B. And church A or B might be fine, but see, every local church is a local body. The local church is a body. What is a body? Well, if I were to look at any of you, I realize that Marianne's heart is in her body. Her kidney is in her body. Her liver is in her body. If I were to do this and suddenly I see something fly out and tries to land in Deanne, you know, the heart just goes like this. I would know that what? Something terrible is about to happen to whom? To her. Because a body works together. The heart needs every other organ to do what they're doing. That those organs need the heart to do what they're doing. Because together, it makes it a strong body. That's why, you know, whenever people have, you know, like weak hearts, they put a transplant. And sometimes, because of the fact that it's not really the original heart, they have complications. Because the heart is saying, I don't belong to you. What am I doing here? Where did I come from? You follow me? But the point I'm saying to you is that if we'll begin to do what God says as a church, listen to me, Hebrews 10:25, put that up there. Hebrews 10:25, one of the most important scriptures that you'll ever, Mariana, this is one of the most important scriptures that you'll ever understand. And if you do, you'll be a strong Christian for the rest of your life. Okay, ready? Let's read this together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is. Now, you know, in Paul's day, there were people who were doing that. In, out, in, out, in, out. You know, just inconsistency. God placed this in the scripture to get you to understand that he does not want you to be inconsistent. Find a way. Talk to your boss. Do something. Talk to your pastor. Find a way. But you must be consistent as it comes to the word of God. It says, not forsaking what? The assembling of ourselves together. Don't do it. If God tells you not to do something, why are you doing? Mysticism has you. It's under your, you're under the control of mysticism. As a result, you can't get out of it. And it'll keep you for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years until you're delivered. It says this, as is the manner of some, but what? Exhorting one another. See, by the way, when you come to church, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing. If what you have to say is not going to lift up your brother, is not going to lift up your sister, then don't say nothing. See, some people like to come to church to try to tell people what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it and if they're supposed to do it. That's not your responsibility. If you got something to say, make sure it's going to lift somebody up, not make someone feel bad about themselves. You have to exhort, lift, lift, lift. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as what? As you see the day approaching. One of the things I notice about the scriptures is that Peter in his day lived looking for the great hope. You know what the great hope is, right? That Jesus was coming again. Paul lived his life expecting to see the coming of the Lord. Martin Luther lived in his day expecting to see the coming of the Lord. You see, part of the way that the scripture in Thessalonians tells us how we ought to live, we ought to live each day as if Jesus can come tomorrow, but he may not come for another 2,000 years. And so you live ready, prepared to go. Because if he breaks the sky tonight, guess what? I'm ready. I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be here when Jesus comes, you know, and you look down and you see, oh, brother, so-and-so, what happened to that? See, notice again. Our Christianity has to be linked to a hope where we're looking for something, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. And by the way, you know, in the day that we live in, there's wars and there are rumors of wars. You know, there's all kinds of things happening. And so Christ can put us in his appearance anytime. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I'm just going to.